We've been in a teaching series in Romans. We've been just trucking right along. We're now in Romans chapter 2. The last couple weeks, I did an intro of Romans that I taught out of Acts. I don't know, I can do that because I have the microphone. You're welcome. Second week, we talked about, what did we talk about? Anybody remember? We only covered two verses, Romans 16 and 17. We covered two verses. You're cheating. You're reading them from your Bible. For I am not ashamed. This isn't an open book test, man. This isn't an open book test. What's that? Okay, well, now I'm specifying. We covered two verses. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Which was big words for Paul to say, because he's been kicked around everywhere, every town he went to talk about Jesus, right? Even by his own people that are leery of him, because he was this law, Jewish man that just abided by the law and killed Christian people that followed Jesus, would take them into prison, and yeah. So when once he got his moment with Jesus, like we've had, you and I have had, many of you will actually come to at some point. I'm praying for that for you. Then he starts following Jesus. People are a little leery of this man, aren't they? Aren't you the same guy that was killing us, and now you're teaching us? That's strange. That's weird. What was the last part? Go ahead and read 17 for me, Craig. Ooh. Ooh, our righteousness comes from who? Okay, I got one person to respond. Our righteousness comes from who? And how do we attain that righteousness? Okay. And then last week, we found out how awesome we are. As we taught Romans 2, or 1, excuse me, 18 through 32. And I don't know about you, but I had this incredible moment with God here on the stage, on my knees, being broken, repenting, understanding where my relationship is with God. And you know what? I didn't have to like it. I didn't have to like that he showed me things that don't jive with who he says he is and who he says I am. What I have to do is submit myself to what he says about himself, and what he says about he and I's relationship together. That's what I have to do. I'm going to read a Packer quote. I've shortened it because everybody said, everyone's talking about this. You got to be careful with those infinitives. You do this all the time. I just said it once. Like, I'm going to read a Packer quote, but I've shortened it because I don't want your eyes to just glaze over. And this is, as we go through this gospel, as we go through the word, this is literally what we have to do, not just this book, every time. Every time we go through the word, every time we hear from God, we have to subject ourselves to who he says he is. Okay? Packer says this. There's a guy named J.I. Packer. He's smarter than me. He writes books. You would like him. Okay? He says this. Think of what you know of God through the gospel. He's talking about the good news. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the gospel. And apply it. Think against your feelings. Argue yourself out of the gloom they have spread. As we were on our knees last week, I wanted to fight. I don't like being in a submissive position at all, because I'm a big dude. Getting on my knees is not fun for anybody, in front of anybody. And so I get hit my knees, and God's saying, hey, look, you remember that list you rattled off, Adam? You remember where you are in wrong being with me? Look at how many times your name comes up. I didn't like that. Yeah, but God, whoa, hey now, let's not get too crazy. We have to think and argue against ourselves out of the gloom that our feelings have spread. Unmask the unbelief they have nourished, this way in which we operate for so long that's in wrong standing and wrong being with God. Unmask the unbelief they have nourished. Take yourself in hand. talk to yourself. Make yourself look up from your problems to the God of the gospel. Let evangelical thinking correct your emotional thinking. So many of us bring our baggage on a Sunday morning. So many of us hope that it will be either spoken of that it's okay. You're fine. You're okay. How you operate is okay in God's eyes. That's the message I want to hear. You have no work to do, Adam. You have nothing to be worried about because you're okay. And in some areas of my life, that is true. Because of what the work of the Holy Spirit has done within those areas of my life and my submission to those areas in my life to God, some of that is true. But as I hit my knees last week, there are many areas where it's not. And those are the things I got to dig in and say, God, what do you say about this? Not only what do you say, but how do I go about living life from here, from this point on, in right being with you? So we get done hearing this list that Paul rattles off about where we are in unrighteousness with God. We talked about righteousness comes from God and faith in that righteousness, which means the things that we read within Scripture and who God says we are, those are the things that bring righteousness. How he says to live with himself in our relationship with him, those are the things that bring righteousness. And our faith in those things is what brings our righteousness, right? How many more times can I say righteousness? So we get this verbal spanking from Paul. And I'm sure the Romans were just super excited about it because the Roman church, see this little cross that says Romans? You have up arrows and down arrows, and that represents our relationship with God. Mankind, humankind's relationship with God. The other arrows represent how we live with one another in community. And the Roman church is made up of Jewish people. I got the ish on the end of it this time. Jewish people and Gentile people, meaning anybody that's not a Jew is considered Gentile. And so the Jews had this law, had this list of rules from God that they've been obeying all the time, and the Gentiles, they just did whatever they really wanted to do. So they had a lot of pagan gods, they had a lot of pagan worship, they had a lot of things that they had created on their own. And it's amazing that people can just create gods like that and worship them. If you read back in the Old Testament, Moses goes up to this mountain to hear from God and bring the Ten Commandments. You guys familiar with those? He goes and he hears from God. And as he's gone for so long, you've never heard of him, Craig? You're shaking your head no. Mel Brooks, yes. No, don't do this to me because now my mind's there. Now my mind's there, yeah. 15 commandments, and he drops a tablet, and he's like, 10. 10 commandments. You totally derailed me. Moses is up on a mountain. Moses is gone for a long time. Moses is their leader. Moses is the guy that's leading this Israelite nation out of captivity from Egypt that they were enslaved to, and he goes up to hear from God. Well, he's gone, apparently, a really long time that they said, well, we got to have something to worship. You know what? Let's melt down our jewelry and gold and worship a cow. Because people like us are really awesome. We're really smart. We can think of these cool things. You know what would be really sweet is a giant golden cow that we just all get around and worship. Rock and roll. We think that's stupid until we start amassing wealth. And we start seeing how our money takes precedent over God. And we start seeing how we become deaf to what God's asking us to do with our finances. We say that until we start buying guitars, which I told you, my love affair with those. I actually had to name one of them Sherry Lee just so I wouldn't get in trouble, like, loving a guitar. Because my wife's name is Sherry Lee. And now she doesn't like that because she said, I don't know which one you're talking about when you're saying Sherry Lee. You're so sexy. You're so hot. And it could be about both, all right? But we think it's stupid when we think of melting down gold and worshiping a cow as a group, but then we all individually worship something other than God a lot of the times. But Paul, he comes in and he verbally tells us, here's where you're in wrong being with God. This is where God's at. This is where you're at. And then we get into chapter 2, and this is beautiful. Many of you have said this phrase. Many of you have uttered these words, don't judge me. Am I the only one? I think so, yeah. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. What you didn't understand is you were actually uttering a biblical phrase. You knew Scripture and you didn't even know it. But you probably have a warped understanding of what this actually means. So we're going to pick up on Paul's words in Romans 2. And we're going to read verse 1 through 11. And if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to Romans 2, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to read it together. If you need a Bible, please, there is some out in the table where the donuts and snacks are. Grab a Bible. They're free. We want you to take them. We want you to read them. We want you to be educated. We want you to understand that the Word of God is life. Okay? Deal? And if you need an app so you don't have to get up and go get a Bible, please download one right now. If you can connect to the Griffin Wi-Fi, the password is Winston, W-I-N-S-T-O-N, 710. And it's numbers, not actually written out, 710. Okay? Everybody remember that. I wasted a lot of time. Here we go. This is Paul speaking. Now, earlier, he's speaking in chapter 1, at the very end of chapter 1, 18 through 32. He's literally talking to these Gentiles that brought in all of these practices that the Jewish people didn't have. And he goes on then to talk to the Jewish people who knew some rules, who had some ground rules. And he goes on to talk to the Jewish people like this. After the verbal spanking that we got from Paul, he says this, "You, therefore, you being the Jewish people, therefore," meaning here's the list of unrighteousness, that you're not in right standing with God, you're not in right being with God here, "but you, therefore, Jews," listen, Jewish people, "you who pass judgment on someone else, you have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself." You know, I'm guessing the Jewish people thought, "I don't do any of that stuff. I'm good. God's not talking to me right now." And some of you do this. You sleep through the service because it's not applicable to you. You know, Adam's talking about some issue that he's got or some issue that... But that doesn't apply to me, so I can just zone out right now. And then Paul brings it back around. He said, hey, Jews, listen to this. You have no excuse. Don't you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Uh-oh, God, it sounds like God's talking to everybody right now. Now, we know that God's judgment is... we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. Why? Because he's God. So when you are a mere human being passing judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? This is talking about this hiding, right? This is talking about not standing naked before God and actually acting like you have your stuff together and pointing fingers. Look at those guys. At least I'm not like that. No, you are. You are. Do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. When his righteous judgment will be revealed, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, the things that we just talked about last week, these things that put us in wrong being with God, those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, that look at what God says and says, you know, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. I cannot and will not do that. And follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew. You know, I always thought it was unfair that the Jews always said, you know, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Like they were better than the Gentiles. Oh no, in the wrath, they're first too. Makes me feel better about myself a little bit. First for the Jew, then the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. Everyone who sees these words, who hears these words from God and learns to be in right being with God. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. He loves equally. He wraths equally. We don't want to talk about God like that, do we? The words God's wrath, ooh, abrasive. But when you are a created being, created by God, who sets the tone and the rules for your life, do you really have any say? The answer is, yeah, you do. We saw how that worked out for Adam and Eve in the garden. We saw how that worked out for early humanity when God's wrath was displayed and he started just wiping people out because they were so far gone. God, we don't want to talk about. God, we don't want to see in that light. But we have this peace, this judgment peace. Don't you judge me. Don't you look at me and tell me where I'm wrong. And there's so much to that. As I spoke about Whitewater, as I spoke about who you are to this room full of people, some very old. There wasn't a lot of young people there. There are churches that have supported this ministry who have given money to make Whitewater happen. I'm telling them how we live life together. And this judgment piece was left out because if you matter to God, you matter to me. And that's the only judgment call I need to make on your life at that point, right? But if you matter to God, and if you subject yourself to God, and if you enter into this community, and if you're a part of what God's asking you to be and who God's asking you to be, there's a thing that Craig and I and Jeff were talking about on the ride here called blind spots. Right? And we sat and we talked with these churches, and we sat and we talked with these people, and we sat and we talked with a church who's only 13 years old, and all of a sudden this church of 13 years is sounding like the most established church you've ever heard. They establish these rules of how things are done, and people get angry if you start changing those things. In 13 years. We're going on 9 years, and I haven't really found us to be that. But when I heard that, it made me pucker because I started looking around. I wanted to find a full-length mirror that just went all around so I could just see. Where's this happening within me? Where's this happening within me? And so this judgment, this word of where will you spend eternity and how you are in right being or wrong being with God, that is between you and God. But this community, this accountability with one another. If we're playing the same game by the same rules, there is some accountability that happens between us. And there are things that we are told to judge. There are. There's scripture on the top. So there's some judging that Christians, we are expected to do. We have to discern with the people that we're around. Are we having a God conversation right now? Are you asking me theological questions right now? Behind the scenes? What are you really trying to say here? We have to discern, are these people leading and looking for God? We have to judge that for ourselves, and we have to be ready to answer any questions. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. He's reading about God. He's reading about this Jesus story, and he says, I don't know what this means. And a Jesus follower comes right alongside him and says, Can I help you with that? We have to be savvy enough. We have to be able to discern that. We have to be able to judge that situation, right? Don't you judge me. Yeah, we do. We'll have to examine teachings, which I hate, as a teacher, as a preacher. One of the biggest blind spots for me, we were in this a series in John, and I've probably gotten way more heretical than this. But as we progressed in the John series, I started teaching. There's two men named John, and I started blending them together in my mind and teaching them as one. And you being the patient, loving people that you are, said nothing. That's like having a piece of lettuce in your teeth or your flies down. And people are like, oh, he's cool, man. I don't want to embarrass him. And then it finally comes out after continuing to do this, and it kept getting worse and worse. Hey, you know, I got a question. Is this something that you're meaning to do, or are you just that stupid, is how it was phrased. And I said, well, probably a good combination of both. And I said, no, I do know that there's two Johns. And I, in teaching, in my own fallibility, I screwed up. And so there's these things that we have to judge when it comes to teaching. All these words that you hear, you have to judge them. What do you have to judge them by? Your feelings? What do you have to judge them by? The Word of God, the truth, by who God says He is, right? Adam, is what you're saying lining up with Scripture? If not, then you need to shut your mouth and hit the road. That's your job. Your job is to judge what comes out of my mouth, if it lines up with the Word of God. Do you understand that? Now you're all digging in Scripture. Uh-oh. And this is all coming from Scripture, all right? Scripture even tells us that we are supposed to decide cases of dispute between each other. We're supposed to judge in that. Do you understand? That sounds a little too free, huh? Who's going to put themselves in that position? I'm mad at this person. They've hurt me in this way. And as a community, as a church, we're supposed to come in and decide. How do we heal? How do we reconcile? I've seen it happen. We had some college students. One of them was super excited about this place to live because this other college student owned this house. And he was very excited about moving in and getting into this home. And what happened was this other college student, this was years back, it's none of you, better not be any of you, all right? This was years back, and this other guy just started hosing him when it came to the rent, meaning he wanted more, he was asking, he was just real shady. But he was also a person that said, I believe in Jesus. So we as pastors had to step in and say, hey, this is ridiculous. You don't look like Jesus in this. And you, your response to him not looking like Jesus, doesn't look any more like Jesus in this. And what the church ended up doing, we ended up paying the bill for their stupid dispute. Not because we were asked, but because that's what God said was best in this situation. Look, you guys don't even look like Jesus. Apparently, you can't even see Jesus at all at this moment. So let us show you where Jesus is at. We'll pay the price for you. Now, what's not going to happen is you're not going to live together anymore and continue in this relationship. You're going to go your own way. You're going to go your own way, and then we're going to be done with this situation. And you know what? They both kept attending church. Isn't that weird? They existed in the same community together. Would you do that? We're meant to judge in these, decide between disputes. But there's judging that's outside of our right to do. And that's hypocritical, as we just heard. These Jews that are saying, well, at least I'm not like that. And Paul says, hey, man, you can't judge because you're doing these exact same things. And then all of a sudden they were standing there naked and everybody could see what was going on in their soul. We're not supposed to be hypocritical. We're not to be condemnatory judging. Have you seen this Westboro Baptist signs? Do I need to tell you the hate speech that's on those? And what those do is they put us above, when we start doing these things, it puts us above someone else. And that's not kingdom. We entitled this teaching, Leveling the Playing Field. We're all on the same plane. We've all been deserving of who Jesus came to save. We've all been not deserving, excuse me, we deserve nothing. We've all been on the receiving end of what Jesus came to do for us, okay? And judgment is God's, judgment is Jesus's, judgment is what he says he is, who he says he is, how he asks you and I to be. And so the question is, will you subject yourself to that? Don't judge me. Well, you do have a judge, and it's not me. It's God. It's Jesus. And if you claim Jesus, you're going to live like it? I saw a room full of probably begrudging repentance last week. I saw a room full of people who, I know for some of you, it was very hard to get on your knees, not only because of the physical limitations of what I was asking you to do, because you're not in that great of health, but because of the spiritual implications of what that means. That act means, oh man, we're going to encounter God and we're going to have to deal with our stuff. And so I witnessed a room full of repentance. How many of us went crawling back to the crap this last week? How many of us said, you know, Jesus, I trust your grace so far, but I can't do it anymore this week, today? And the beautiful thing about this is there's grace. Jesus also talks about grace and the reason why he came to be whatever we could not be, to put us in right being with God. That's Jesus. That's why. That's his kindness that we talk about. This kindness that leads us to repentance is Jesus. And so this repentance that you and I get to offer God, this repentance that you and I get to say, look, you know what, I'm done being this, I'm done doing this, I'm going to live as you asked of me to live, I'm going to be as you've asked of me to be, I'm going to walk away from these things, and I'm going to walk towards the things that you say, even though it's confusing, even though it's painful to my current situation right now, I'm going to do what it is that you asked me to do. Why? Because you're God and I'm not. Why? Because judgment here on this earth is not real, but God's is real. Why? Because I know how loving God is. I know how kind God is. I know the reasons why he came. I know that I'm a scoundrel. I know that I'm broken. I know that Jesus makes me whole. I know these things. So I want to live like that. I want to be like that. I want to respond like that. And what's interesting is it is contagious. With the speaker that was there this weekend talked about the offensive nature of the gospel. And I shook my head and I said, hell no, it's not. I cursed. I used one of the 13. And I was in sharp disagreement because the gospel is truth. What Paul says about God and who God is and our response with him, that is truth. What Paul says about his kindness leading us to repentance, that is truth. What Paul speaks about is this beauty of this relationship between us and God is truth, and truth is attractive. We may not like it. My son, my boys, they never like to hear truth when they're trying to weave let's call it a manly yarn about why they shouldn't be in trouble at that moment. And you can tell when I've caught them in my spinning of my manly yarn. You can tell when they've been defeated. But not all the time are they submissive to that. More times than not, they try to explain why they're right. They try to explain why they're wrong being, and it's literally, I call them on the things when they are in wrong being with God, and therefore in wrong being with the world around them and others, those are the things I call my sons on. I don't dare do it to my wife because I would not be here today. No, that's not true. We do a good job of each other, and we don't like to hear it anymore, do we? Who do you think you are? But the truth is attractive because that's the person I want to be, because I've watched how it changes lives. I've watched you, jacked up, disgusting looking bunch, become beautiful. Nope, not going to do this twice. I've watched you become beautiful. I see you becoming who God is asking you to become. And what I see happening in your lives is that affects the world around you. That affects your family. That affects your friends. That affects the barista that screws up your coffee order. But it starts of us subjecting ourselves to the judgment of God, the judgment of Christ, who he says we are, who he says he is, and running towards that and being obedient to that. Are you in? Are you with me? Are you understanding this? Together, you, I, we're going to continue to run. Maybe even walk for some of us. I don't run. When we ran the mile in high school, I was the kid that walked around the track and everybody was done in 3 minutes and they're like, come on, Adam, you fat lard. And and the coach was mad because I came in at like a 14-minute mile and he just knew that I didn't care about anything. I was really awesome in my youth. Awesomer than I am now, yeah. Yes! We need to start a support group for those mile walkers, we'll call it. Mile Walkers Anonymous. Hello, my name is Mark. Yeah. I don't go, yes, sir. I digress. But together we're going to move 2 steps closer to Jesus. Together we're going to do this as a community. Together we're going to seek the face of God. And together we are going to challenge one another. We're going to help each other with our blind spots, and it's going to come out of a place of love. It's going to come out of a place of reverence for God. It's going to come out of a place for who God says we are. Will you subject yourself to that? It's going to be uncomfortable at first. It's going to suck at first. It's going to hurt every single time any of your blind spots are exposed. Right, Sherry? She tells me how great of a husband I am all the time, and I agree with her. Eventually. But that's the kind of community we are. That's this judgment comes from God, and we need to subject ourselves to that. And we need to subject ourselves to one another when it comes to matters of who he says he is. When it comes to matters of when we can't see that in ourselves. When we become so set in our ways that's contrary to who God says he is, we need to be willing to look and say, God, who are you? Where are you in this? And sadly, it's not a once-and-done thing. It's a lifetime process. Are you in? I don't want to sugarcoat the gospel for you. It's not for the faint at heart. It really is not. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this judgment. God, and it's just judgment. It's true judgment because it's based on your truth and it's based on who you say you are. And forgive us when we try to live any way that's not you. When we try to be any other way that's not you. When we try to speak any other way that's not you. When we try to love someone any other way that's not you. God, I pray for forgiveness in our condemnation. When we are condemning someone, when we are judging someone, and we do the same thing, God, forgive me. God, forgive this community. Forgive us. God, forgive me in my youth for how I handled your word and how I handled your life-giving truth. You're recalling instances in my mind right now where I condemned people. I condemned people groups. I condemned certain activities to those people that are deserving of hell. That didn't come out of a place of love in my heart. That didn't come out of a place of love for who you say you are and who you say I am. God, that came out of anger. That came out of positioning. That came out of me putting myself above someone else. And that came at a great disservice to your gospel and to your truth. And these very specific people that I have in my mind right now, God, I pray that you put someone in their path that's not that. God, I pray that you put someone in their path that actually understands you and how you love. And I pray that they love them into your kingdom if they haven't already found it. I pray that they do what I chose not to do in my judgment, in my positioning. God, make us better receivers of what you say. God, give us a longing for your voice, for when you speak to us, when you come to us and say, you're outside of where I'm at. God, may that be welcome. May that not be painful. May that not just be so cutting and hurtful to us. God, may we grow into a place where we say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I'm not doing that anymore. God, may we come to that place together as a community. May we come to that place together and change this world as we move people persistently two steps closer to Jesus. God, bring us to that place. Bring us to a place of love for one another. And may that love be the trust that allows us to speak to one another when calling out each other's blind spots. That it doesn't offend. That it doesn't maim or destroy. God, but brings life. God, your judgment is real. Your judgment is just. Your judgment is based in the truth that you say you are. That's why you're God. That's why you're holy. That's why we love you. And it is your kindness that leads us to this place of repentance and forgiveness and a life centered in you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.